So I'd heard this term before, but Anna uses it all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I was wondering if you have anything like this. She uses the term gatekeeping.
Okay.
About like, okay, a recent example of this was the movie In the Heights is coming out. This is a movie adaptation of a Lin-Manuel Miranda musical.
Sure.
And we were watching the trailer, and the kids are so excited about it because they've listened to the musical backwards and front, you know, but like, we're watching the trailer and Anna was like, I'm going to gatekeep this movie so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, I don't want any of my friends to watch it if they're posers, like if they haven't listened to the musical.
That's amazing.
I was like, come on, they get to enjoy the musical. And she was like, you're just more generous than me. I don't want anyone to look. She was like, I was raised on this musical.
Wow. I was raised on this musical.
I was raised on Lin-Manuel.
When
Miranda.
Did you like? They have multiple choice tests on it. Was it essay test? What was it?
Don't test the kids.
Fill in the blank.
Oh my gosh! But so my question for you is there something in your life that you like legitimately are? Yeah, I gatekeep this. Like I roll my eyes when other people pretend to like it because they're posers, and I'm really the person that actually likes it.
That's a good question. I think I probably have a few.
Like the Masters or Tiger Woods fandom or like a UT football thing. I'm just trying
probably, to... Probably. And honestly, you're saying this and I'm realizing I think I'm really judgmental. Because like, you said all those and I was like, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like which I'm like, ugh. SpongeBob fandom.
No, I don't feel that way about SpongeBob. I think the real things I feel that way about are... they're all cyclical. There's a few, but like
How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, I get. No, I
think
I don't,
you're protective of How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah,
maybe not gatekeeping, but like you're like it hurts you if someone talks ill of it.
It does, because it was like in various seasons of my life, it's been a pacifier, which is hilarious to say on a Christian podcast. Like, I am struggling, therefore I will watch How I Met Your Mother instead of...
I used to get snaps from you that was just like the denim couch, your feet, and like Marshall and Ted on
yeah,
the TV.
Yeah, like there's been various seasons where it's like, I'm going through a hard thing. All right, we'll pick up season 3 and see where I land. You know, it's like I've watched that show like 7 times. And it's always because it's just like, this feels like a blanket. Like I know whatever. It's so weird. This feels so embarrassing.
I think it's Harry Potter for me.
Okay.
I think the thing I gatekeep is when D-Rod's talking about like watching a Harry Potter movie and I'm like, no, don't. I love you, but don't.
Yeah. Yeah. That actually makes me mad too.
You need to listen to at least listen to the audiobook.
Whenever if someone asks him.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that one moment.
Yeah. No, if someone asks him like, do you like Harry Potter? He'll say, I haven't seen the movies. Or you know, like is like,
or, but he's doing that to you.
Oh, it's like, yeah, that's no, a no, that is a, that is a complete, complete and total like psychological manipulation.
Yeah, it's
like,
warfare.
I know exactly what I'm saying right now. He's a genius. He's a genius.
He's an evil genius at getting your goat.
Yeah, I feel that way about Coldplay probably.
Oh wow!
Because people like, you know. There's a lot of bad comments about them. And I'm like, you know what? You can stop.
So like in 15 years when Coldplay is legitimate, like oldies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like you can go to you go like to Walmart and buy like a throwback Coldplay t-shirt. And like teenagers are wearing them. Are you going to be like, no.
Oh, totally. Like, yes. 100%.
Give me your top 5 Coldplay songs.
Yeah. No. No.
You can't say clocks.
No, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. There was a time in my life where those words never would have come out of my mouth, but now I'm like, you know what? I'm very excited to watch them on American Idol on Sunday night because I also love the show American Idol so much. Maddie and I watch it every week. And then in our downtime, we watch The Voice. When we're caught up American Idol, we just like
in
speed
our
through the voice.
So what you're saying, American Idol's not downtime.
No, that's prime time. that is 8 o'clock on Sunday. We know exactly where we are. We watch it live. No one else watches live TV anymore, but we watch American Idol live.
Oh gosh.
It's amazing.
Welcome to Ancient and New. We're glad you're here with us. We're going to talk about some scriptures. You want to kick us off? You got something?
Sure.
By the way, I do like the fact that there are people that still watch live TV other than sports.
Yeah.
Sports is live TV. But I was trying to explain to somebody that when the show Lost was on, Christy and I had to watch it 1 week at a time with commercials for 6 years.
Right.
Like every Wednesday for 6 years in the fall.
Right.
And now people are just like, yeah, I watched Lost over spring break. And I'm like, no, that's not the way. No.
Right.
Where are we?
We're going to be in, it's funny. You were talking, I'm thankful because you just like carried the torch while I was Googling something. I needed it. John 1. We're going to be in John 1. I have camped out here for. Yeah,
you've been here for a minute.
Been here for a minute. I've had this like really, I don't know. I've really liked what I've been doing scripturally for a few weeks. I have not been going through John for my quiet time. I've been doing it for our high school Bible study. And because of it, I've just been reading it like crazy. And I've liked a few little things from it. But in my own quiet time, I've been doing, I like camped out in Ephesians 2 for an entire week. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to be in Ephesians 3 for an entire week. And now I'm in Ephesians 4 for an entire week. And Ephesians 4 is changing my life, I think, which is...
Ephesians 4 is crazy.
It's beautiful. It's just like a masterpiece. It's changing the way I think. It's changing my thought process. It's changing my conversations. It's changing... Like, I'm just like, oh, this is a beautiful piece of work. And there's something about just like, I'm going to read this every day for a week. And I'm going to... pounding it in my brain, but every day I'm also finding something I didn't find the day before.
Right.
And it's been really cool. And I've also been in, Romans as well as a companion to that, because I had like 3 or 4 weeks ago where I was just like struggling to read the scriptures. And like, I'm saying that on here because I think it's important to normalize that, because I think it's easy to be at a place where you're like, I can't find anything in this. I'm having a hard time. I'm not getting anything out of it. And then that's a very lonely feeling that I think Satan like pokes at. Like,
yeah, he's like, hey, way to go. Here
you're the only Christian in the world who feels that way. And I like,
it's good to say it out loud and laugh at it.
Yeah. And there was definitely a season, you know, like probably a month ago where like Maddie and I would be driving and she would be like, oh, what did you read today? We're like, what did you get out of the scriptures today? Where I would ask a question like that. And I'd be like, I'm just having a hard time. I can't. I'm not pulling things out of it. I'm not, you know, I'm just not finding something I need right now, which is so interesting and which is funny to say, cause it's like, there's always going to be something in there I need, but I was just having a hard time with it. And she was like, I just go to Romans whenever I can't find something. I just start. Nice. That's where I start. And I was like, I'm going to do it. So that's what I've been doing too. And
that's cool.
Oh, it's been great advice. My wife's a genius. But I'm going to be in John chapter 1 this morning.
Let's go.
I'll probably start in, you know what? I'm going to start in verse 43, Lee.
I see it.
Okay. It says, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Okay. There's just a lot, and I haven't even, you know, there's still three more verses that are just full of goodies.
Yeah.
But the thing I really wanted to land on
your face when you said that.
Goodies.
It's
funny. The thing I really wanted to land on was the bit in verse 47 where Jesus, and like, it's funny because I think you could read 47 and 48 and especially 48, you could read that in a way that is like, you know, if I went up and walked up to somebody and started talking and they said the phrase, how do you know me? It's usually like pretty
defensive.
It's defensive. It's like, cautious. This is weird. Right. Why do you know me? And maybe Nathanael was saying that. Maybe he was saying, how do you know me? But I get you know, even if that is the case, the next verse, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you, is what mm-hmm. Jesus says. And then Nathanael says, like, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Like, something happens in there.
Yeah.
Based on the phrase, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Jesus did something there when he said that. I don't know if it was, that's why I think, like, the how did you know me is a deeper response. It's not a, it's not a, my guard's up, I'm defensive. It's like a, wait, to me, it feels like that's something I needed to hear. I've had it in my heart. I've had it in my head. Only someone who really knows me would have known those are the words I needed to hear. And I don't know if that's true or not. That's just the way I feel about it. And I think it's, you have a thought on your mind that I can just see forming.
Well, it's just like, it's, I loved the way you said, those are the words I needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I bet if everybody that's listening to this right now pushed pause and took 10 minutes in silence to answer the question, what are the words I need to hear? Mm. Or who in my life do I need to give me an encouraging word?
Right.
And what, like, what's the word I'm just longing for? I bet every single person right now, I don't think it would take 10 minutes.
No.
I bet they could think of, like, oh, I wish somebody would say this.
Yeah. And here's where I'm going with that. I think that's really cool. Like, because that's an awesome thing. One thing your wife says that's amazing is if there's something you're missing or something you need and you realize it, go give it to someone else.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really cool thought to say, like, okay, because that's a thing that I often long for, is to feel very known and for someone to say it to me.
Mm, yeah.
Because you just, like, there are things that happen in your life where you're like, well, I didn't get that at a certain point in my life. And now I realize I need it more because I didn't get it for however many years.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, there's a thing in me that is like, I'm trying to do that because it's something I feel like I need. And honestly, because of the words of your wife, which are like, go give it to someone else. But there's a thing too, where it's a very common thing for us to hear the phrase as a Christian, be like Jesus, right?
Right.
You just hear that. And I think it comes from that place in Romans 8, which I've pulled up, like, to be conformed in the image of his son, you know, like, to be made like Jesus in a lot of ways. Like, and it's like, you know, yes. Also, there's just a lot of things we can't do, you know, like Jesus, like I can't heal somebody's leprosy. I just can't do attitude. It. Yeah, not that's what Matthew Ruiz would say to that. 18-year-old Matthew Ruiz is laughing because he used to say, "No, with that attitude, you can't," which is amazing. I can't run across this lake right now to get to the other side and catch fish. Like, I can't. Whatever. It's just, you know, I can't make this bread feed, you know, 10,000 people. There's just like things I can't do, but I think this is one in John chapter 1.
Okay.
Like, the fact that Jesus approached another man and said something that was surely affirming to him, like said something that encouraged him, said something that lifted him up, said something that he needed to hear. And I said this to a group of people the other day where I was way out of my league too. But I said to them, like, men especially do not know how to do that.
Oh my gosh, that's so true.
No, have you ever, like,
it's so true.
Nothing is more uncomfortable than sitting in a circle of men and throwing the phrase out there, let's encourage this man out loud right now. Nothing is more uncomfortable because you see people start squirming in their seats and they start thinking of jokes immediately. That's the way men do it. It's like, you know how I'm going to affirm you right now is I'm going to kind of make fun of you.
Yeah, there's going to be a barb in there.
There's going to be something in there. Like, I'm going to say this nice thing, but directly I'm going to stab it in your belly and then I'm going to turn it left so it's hard to pull out. You know, like, that's what's going to happen. Like, I'm going to say this nice thing, but it's going to be laced with sarcasm and, like, I'm going to put you down somehow. I'm going to build you up, but because I'm a man, it can't all be nice. Like, it's got to be hidden with like something bad that you said one time or something bad I said, or that stupid thing you did that one time. And it's like, hey, you know what Jesus did is he walked up to a man, looked him in the face, and he said something kind to him. The phrase, like, I'm going to be like Jesus, is a tough one to do, but that is not a tough thing to do. And if you want to be like Jesus,
it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. If you want to be like Jesus, why don't you do that? Well, like, you can't do all the things. You can't save the world. You just can't. You would be really bad at it. It just wouldn't work. But one thing you can do and be like Jesus is to walk up to someone, look him in the face and say, you want to know something I love about you? You want to know something about you that you don't see? You want to know something? And that has been a helpful thought for me this week.
Wow.
And I've really enjoyed
and
it.
And I think people are parched.
They're oh, yeah.
Dying for affirmation.
Oh, yeah. They're, big time.
Like, I think people are longing for exactly what you said, to be seen and stuff like that. Like, Jack recently, he saved up a bunch of his, like, yard mowing money and stuff to buy this, like, it was like this replica of a sword from a thing. Like, it was this thing, and it finally came in the mail. He's been anticipating it. So excited. I mean, he's just, like, he took it on our family walk.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's just like walking around the neighborhood with this giant sword. And we got home and we're hanging out and he's looking at it. I was like, that thing looks so cool. And he was like, you think it's cool? And I was like, yeah, I think it's cool. And he was like, and then he literally asked this question, like, do you think it's worth the money that I spent on it? And I looked at him and was like, dude, that thing is awesome. And you have been waiting for it. And you, like, you earned it. You saved the money and you got it. Like, I think it's awesome. And you could tell that, like, he was nervous about that. That he was nervous that I thought that he was, like, wasting his money or that, and like, the 12-year-old heart for just a second was able to actually just break through and directly ask the question, do you think I'm stupid? That's the question behind the question.
Right.
And not, you know, we're not 12 anymore, but, like, that question is sitting on our shoulders, right, just like waiting to be asked, like, hey, this thing that I did, do you think I suck or do you think I'm stupid? Or do you think I'm out? You know, it's like, we're all just longing for that affirmation so much. I mean, what must it have been like for Jesus to look you in the eye and say that? But you're exactly right. This is the way that we get to spin that out.
Right.
That's super cool.
That's cool. That is cool. I love that. I'm thinking about myself in that moment right there. And I know that if I hesitated for half a second, that would be like, you know, that you did such a good job in that moment because it is true. Jack should be able to get whatever he wants with his money. And it's an awesome thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like trying to think of myself as a dad whenever, you know, that happens. And I'm like, gosh, I hope I don't hesitate. I hope I don't say the wrong thing there. Cause that's one of those things that could shape somebody really quickly. Yeah, you know, like,
it's the thing that they tell their small group like 20 years later.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
I remember when I bought this sword.
I haven't bought something for myself ever since, you know, I could see that happening.
My dad thought I was stupid
because that's definitely happened to me. Like,
right.
Hey, is it a cool thing that I bought this, whatever the thing was.
I bought these Jordans in the seventh grade and my dad told me they were the ugliest shoes he'd ever seen in his life.
There you
he
go.
Said they look like bowling shoes.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
And I never got over it. And then 2 years ago, I bought them for myself again.
Yeah, you should have.
The same shoes.
I had it in my head as an eighth grader when you told me about those shoes that I was going to buy them for you one day when I had enough money to.
That is so precious.
I still don't have enough and I'm just kidding. I'm joking. I just forgot.
Let's look at Colossians chapter 4 for a second. One of the things, as you're going there, one of the things that I like about the Apostle Paul is the way that he doesn't just tell you what to do or what attitude to have. He uses the kind of language that I'm the kind of learner or thinker that, like, it's really helpful to me. And so here's an example. Like, one example of that is when he says, like, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness. It's like, that's such a great, you know, it's just a great image that you would, like, you would look through your closet and there's all kinds of different attitudes that you could put on. And, like, my daughter has a teacher at the high school who, like, it's like he opens his closet every day and he decides to just put on snark. He just decides...
Yeah,
just to be a jerk, basically, every single day. He's like, old faithful, jerk shirt, let's do this, you know? But I love that image of, like, put on these things. This is another example of that. This is in Colossians chapter 4. He says, be wise in the way you... verse 5. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And like, so he's saying how to act toward people, especially towards outsiders. And then like, he does this thing at the end where he's like, let your conversation be seasoned with salt. And it's like, that is such a cool turn of phrase. You know, like, I very often will make like scrambled eggs for my kids and stuff like that. Like here's some biscuits and some scrambled eggs. And with Anna, I know that she's like, they're basically unpalatable to her unless they're salty enough.
Yeah, I don't do eggs.
And then she loves them.
Right.
And so it's like, if they're salty enough, then it's like, I don't want this at all, or I love this. And the only difference is the salt. It's like, you made them delicious.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like the way that you talk to somebody that, and actually this is really related to where you took us in John chapter one, but like that the way that you talk to somebody can be delicious. It, like, I think about like, one, a meal I want to eat again, or a restaurant that I want to go back to because it was seasoned well.
Right.
Like the food was seasoned well. And I was like, as I was eating it, I was like, that's good. Like I want to do that again. Like you and I ate at Fin 2 downtown. And then like when Andrew Buckner moved back here and he started working downtown and I was like, dude, let's go get some lunch sometime. And he's like, yeah, where do you want to go? And I was like, I want to go to Fin 2. And he was like, oh, I love Fin 2. And and was like, me too. You know, which Andrew loves everything. So he's an easy date.
Oh yeah.
Easy because date. He just loves everything.
Yeah.
And I love people like that. It's like, it's kind of like D-Rod too.
Oh yeah. No, D-Rod's not easy to eat with. That was the wrong, like he's easy. Yes. Easy hang. The easiest hang.
Yeah.
To go eat dinner with. No,
not easy.
No. He panic orders and then he regrets it every time. Sorry.
Oh, that's amazing.
Derailed.
But yeah, like I want the way that I talk to people, like that when they leave, they're like, that was good. When they think back to hanging with me, they're like, oh man, I want to talk to him again. That's not always the case when people are talking to me, but it's like, or when you're talking to other people, but I want it. That's the way I want people to think about talking to me, the way that they think about a restaurant they want to go back to.
Right.
And I think part of that is the affirmation that you're laying out, being like Jesus, looking for something in somebody that other people don't see. I think there's some intentionality. There's an intentionality to seasoning, right. You know, that I'm thinking about the way that I want this food to taste. The other night I was making some stir fry and I was going through the motions and everything. And I decided right before I started cooking, I'd cut up everything and everything. And I was like, I'm going to add a little bit of sesame oil to the olive oil in this before I put the garlic in. And like, it just changes the smell of the room. Like sesame oil is so specific. And it was like, and Christy was even like, there's something different about this tonight. This is good. And I was like, yeah, I put a little, it was like this intentional choice of like, and so like the way that you talk to people, the way that you think about people. And Paul uses this kind of idea of strategy. He's like, make the most of every opportunity. That we, you know, I mean, over the past few years, Christians have just made the worst, the least of every opportunity with outsiders.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like, so the bar is low for us to start taking some of that back.
Yeah. And that's cool. That's a cool perspective on that. Yeah. The bar is low. I know, because
the bar is sitting on the ground.
The bar is sitting on the ground. I do, like, 18-year-old Thomas reads this and is like, wow, always full of grace, like every opportunity. Whoa, that's scary. And I'm not gonna be able to do it, you know, like, because it does, there's a certain thought process you have to have in your head. Like, for this to work, you kind of have to think about it. You know what I mean? Like, you have to make the decision of like, this is how I'm going to pursue this. This is how this conversation is going to go. This is from my end. This is what's going to come out of my mouth. You know, you have to kind of work it a little bit. This is not like this instruction here. Verse 5 and 6 in Colossians chapter 4 is not like, it's not second nature. You know, it's not like,
not for me.
Yeah. Especially from the get go. No.
Yeah. I think about, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but like, I think about like when I watch your wife around my daughter, Nora, I'm like, that's amazing. Like you make her feel so special. You make her feel so cared about. She adores you. And I'm like, and I'm sure there's a lot of like, there's a lot of skill. There's a lot of years of reps of how you talk to a teenage girl and how you make her feel funny and cared about and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But also just like, it's, if I was to analyze what she's doing, it's not, she's incredibly gifted at it, but it's not rocket science in the sense of like, it's just a little salt.
Right.
It's just a little, like, I'm just leaning into, right. You know, it's like, that's the thing that I do like about this is like, it is intentional, but like, it's not scary. It's like, it's just like a little bit, like a little bit of salt.
Right.
And all of a sudden it makes all the difference on the way this person feels about being around you.
Totally. I think it's cool. And I think I love the word you said there. It's reps, because it does become something that is like, oh, that's not scary anymore. That's not a big deal. That's not, you know, in the sense that like, I don't have to think as hard about it. It does become more natural with some reps. And I think it's a cool thing. And I also think it's like, there's something about this where it's like, it specifically says outsiders, which would mean you kind of have to put yourself in that position, right? You have to, you can't, if that word is only insiders for you, then like, it's time to start thinking about like, what are outsiders? You know, like what are outsiders? What do I need to do to find some outsiders? Like, because it is part of, as Christians, we have, you know, we have a bit of a calling on our life, whether you're supposed to be a missionary or a pastor or, you know, someone who works in a business, like you're supposed to talk to outsiders.
That's right.
And you're supposed to talk to them about Jesus. And
I think for a lot of people, I think for a lot of believers, an interesting little study would be to go on Facebook to find Jed Brewer and just like look down his active feed of the way he talks.
Oh yeah.
The way he responds to people, the kinds of stuff that he posts, like he just is a force for positivity.
Yeah.
Like he just, he encourages, he doesn't make fun of anything, and he just likes things.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's such a different smell in the world. It's such a different flavor in the world. And I keep going back to that word flavor just because Paul's choice of words, but it's just like, that's the kind of thing that we are going to have to be intentional about it. It does get easier with reps, but I like this encouragement. I like the encouragement of being affirming and being encouraging and being like having grace. Like when you think about speaking to somebody with grace, it just means like, I'm going to enjoy you.
Yeah.
I'm going to have favor. I'm not going to withhold from you.
Right.
I'm not going to make you pass any tests. I'm just going to, it's going to be obvious to you when you leave this conversation that I liked being with you.
Right.
And I like the things that you say.
Right. And I think a little salt goes so far with someone who needs it. Mm. You know, I just like, I think this is a starving world, like you said. And I think like, things that taste good, things that smell good, conversations that taste good and smell good are like, oh my gosh, they are, people want to gobble those things up. Mm. And it's a lot, it is easier than I think people, I think that could be, I said it was intimidating and then I realized it's a lot easier than people think because people are looking for it. It does go back to what we said in John 1, people are looking for that.
Wow.
People are dying for that.
I think it's super true.
Yeah.
P.S. Are you actually getting a haircut tomorrow?
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Everyone listening to this show who's never seen me is like, what does that mean? Wait, is Thomas's hair like short and he's getting it shorter? Is it?
Are you like Samson?
Like
the seven braids.
Oh, yeah.
P.S. When you were talking earlier about sometimes, you know, you just being in a season of reading scripture and not getting much out of it. Man, I just finished reading the book of Judges.
Hmm.
People are bad.
Yeah. Like, we should do that bit. Isn't Samson's the one who pulled the temple down on himself, right?
Yeah.
We should do that in here one day. Is I don't think I had read that before until a few years ago, and I was like, Samson's wait, he did awful. What?
If there are any young people that listen to this podcast, we cannot talk about Samson. It's so, that's, his stories are so bad.
Yeah.
He is so awful.
Yeah, he's bad.
The Book of Judges is not for children.
Yeah, PG-13.
At least.
At least. Maybe R.
Yeah, it would just be a series on HBO.
HBO, anything goes.
Anything goes. Yeah. Literally, the Book of Judges, the byline is like, in those days, Israel had no king. And everyone did whatever they wanted to.
Is that what it says?
Over and over again. Probably okay. 8 times. In wow. those days, Israel had no king. And each person did as they saw fit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's bad.
Yeah, it is bad.
But other parts of the Bible are really encouraging. I'm like, how do we pick this episode up at the end?
Wow, yeah. We had a great episode. And then we just like tanked it.
Oh, my goodness. Guys, thanks for listening. We love y'all. We're grateful for you. I hope you have a great week.
I'm Lee. I'm Thomas.
But this is the last time Thomas is going to greet you with this long hair.
Well, it's probably still going to be long. Let's just be honest.
Okay. And
like right now it goes to my chin when I pull it out.
But you've been saying for months that you want to cut it off.
I know.
This has been Ancient and New.
This is something worth singing about. I want you to sing this like you mean it. We're going to go all the way back to the start and sing about the fact that God has made up his mind on us. Sing this with me. When I mess things up, it's easy to think you love me less. But your love for me is a choice you've made. Where you see me and you say, to think you feel the same, but you took the cross to take me in, and you will never push me.